Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Chris Hunt.
We'll put some auto-tune on that.
Please. You know my students have to listen to me sing all the time.
Yes, tomorrow
is your birthday.
But we are celebrating today by recording a podcast, and also we got back from a trip. Also, welcome to episode 14 or 15 of the Hunts podcast. Our last episode was released 4 months ago in June. We're working on rather than doing the once a week podcast, we're working on the once a quarter podcast.
Once every 3 months, possibly once every 4 months, at least more than once a year.
Yeah. To be fair, we only do these when we get home from a trip. And in the past 4 months, we haven't done any trips. So well, that we survived.
That well, we survived everything. We just didn't complete them.
Yeah. The last one was about a trip, but it was like basically all of our trips in the last four months have been like 5 miles long tops. I would say our longest one was before our last podcast episode. It was like 60 miles in the truck. That was the truck and tacos or tacos. It was about us getting tacos.
Yeah.
Tow trucks and tacos.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. We're not supposed to go anywhere. We're supposed to stay home and keep our neighbors safe. So not only do we not have a vehicle that goes anywhere, we are kind of like parks and things haven't been open all summer. So there's that too.
Yeah. And it's kind of rude to go into a bunch of small towns and bring our corona laden,
our big city, our big city germs,
tell everybody in the local grocery store, et cetera.
So. Right. So,
but you know, now that it's not going away and people are continuing to travel with face masks and hand sanitation and social distancing and all that stuff, we're definitely spinning it back up again. And we have which brings me to the next point, is now we have a vehicle that works.
We have a vehicle that goes places and does not need a tow truck to come home.
Yes.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. It is another old car.
Less old, but still old.
Less old. It's 25 years old.
Yes.
It's Japanese rather than USA made, so it's going to be much more reliable. It's a 1995 Suzuki Sidekick. Four-door with storage capacity. Think like a 4Runner, except like 70% scale, but a similar form factor.
Well, there is a U.S. version. It's the...
That's not U.S. I think you're thinking of the Suzuki Jimny.
No, what your brother had.
Oh, the Chevy Tracker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Chevy Tracker, I guess, is the same car, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at a 1995 Chevy Tracker, and it looks identical. And a lot of the websites... from anything previous to 1995, all the parts are the same. So you can just, you know, put on a Chevy Tracker door and it fits. It's the same,
yeah.
The same vehicle, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know the relationship between Suzuki and Chevy, but apparently they're the same.
Yeah.
But that was kind of interesting to learn because my brother Nick drove a Chevy Tracker over 200,000 miles and just beated that thing like crazy. I don't think he ever changed the oil in the last 80,000.
No. I'm pretty sure that it got changed.
Did it?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. He just, I feel
because
like,
I remember being with your parents and your dad reminding him that he had made an oil change appointment for the Tracker.
Okay.
So I know that it was kept up.
Maybe
but
mom
it did
paying for the oil changes.
Well, I think while Nick was doing the Mount Rainier guiding, I think they did, just because, you know, it's a specialty job that, yeah, that's, we'll just leave it at that. So anyways,
very reliable.
Yeah, so the Tracker was very reliable, so we're hoping, and this little Sidekick from research is a great little brave little toaster.
Yeah, and it and
just goes.
And it was such a random decision. I think we were just walking the dog, and I'm like, the urge to go camping has gotten to the point now where I'm just like, screw it, let's buy another vehicle, and we're gonna use this vehicle for at least while we wait for the engine swap on the Scout.
Yeah, this is like a 7 month.
Potentially keeping it long term because of the weather here. We don't really necessarily, once the streets here get salted and they put like
magnesium chloride.
Yeah.
Which just eats away.
Yeah, they put a bunch of crap on there, and the Scout's got a bunch of untreated steel on it. So it's just for those 2 or 3 months that the roads are covered in that stuff, it's nice to have another vehicle anyway.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense. Also, the insurance that we have on the classic car requires that we have a second vehicle. So
shh. Don't tell anyone.
Because we have a like special car insurance. so we don't have to pay a lot to insure the Scout.
And then it will cover, because when you look at a car that's over 40 years old, most insurance companies won't insure it for what you have to pay to replace them, because mm-hmm. it's a 40-year-old car. So like the like blue book value and the like societal value are like drastically different. So even if we insured it with USAA, they would only insure it for like $10 or something.
Yeah.
Nothing. They'd be like, that's not insurable.
Sorry, we can't insure it. Yeah, USAA does our insurance for everything else.
Yeah.
And they're super cool. But yeah, vintage car that we paid way too much for and that is worth more to us to replace. We have to go. That's why the specialty car insurance Hagerty. Companies exist, like Hagerty, which yeah. is what we're using.
Yeah.
But one of the requirements great. For Hagerty and all the other ones is that you have a quote primary vehicle that you use to, you know, do your errands and do groceries, which we don't do. We don't need a car, but they require that you own it because they just don't want you doing like normal stuff on your car. They just want you to go get ice cream in it, basically.
Yeah. They just want it to be like a fun, like take it to like a car show and like, you know, take pictures of it and post it on Instagram and then put it back in your like covered, heated, climate controlled garage.
Which is what
for another
do. We're gonna months. Do that for the most part, except also
we might take we'll
our
take
ice
a camping
cream shops unpaved. They will likely be ice cream shops that we packed in that we went
to. And we're not even real ice cream people, but like yeah. So I think we're walking the dog, and the whole idea of just like buying like a cheap, inexpensive, older, fairly reliable, like winter beater car kind of like sprung up. And we both were immediately in agreement that that would be a good idea. And a lot of it is for me because I ride my bike to work. Like last winter, I wiped out on some ice, had a little bit of like mild whiplash. And like, it's really nice to be able to not worry about that in the wintertime. Not that I'm currently teaching in a school building at all right now. But so we set a budget and we stayed close.
Yeah, it was pretty close. I mean, I don't really know how much you're supposed to spend on a 25-year-old car, but in my mind I was thinking like, oh, we could probably find something pretty good for under $1,000.
No.
And then when I went to Craigslist, I was like, well, we could find parts of cars and potentially put it together but we want.
Some of those cars, yeah. It was like, I would be embarrassed to list that.
Yeah. It's the typical stuff like, oh, it's worked fantastically, except I blew the transmission out and just didn't have the time to replace it. So the transmission's in the trunk and it will work with a new transmission. But, you know, so just tow it home, put a new transmission in. Trust me, it's going to work. Anyways, yeah. So once I, you know, opened up the price range to infinity, basically, and then just looked for good stuff, I got a better idea of the prices. But this ended up being, we paid $3,500.
I thought you talked him down.
From $4,000.
Oh.
Yeah, so we paid $3,500, 70,000 miles on it.
Yep.
Which is really good for a 25-year-old car.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rust except for the, there's two pieces of sheet metal that hold on the rear bumper. Those have some rust on it, but those are untreated. But everything else under there looked really good. The owner was, I mean, he builds race buggies. He's got this giant 6-car garage and all these super cool trucks out front. And when I went to go pick it up, he's building a truck for that weekend. There's a race happening here in Colorado. And so I trust him as a person, I guess, because he's a business and, yeah, you know, people know who he is. And he really cares about the truck. And one of the things that told me immediately that he cared about the truck is, uh-huh, the first thing we did when we got home is I looked up the tire pressure that we should be using.
Yeah.
Because I have slightly larger tires. They're 1 inch bigger than the ones that come stock. They're 28 inch instead of 27 inch. And so I go to the Toyo Tires website, which is the manufacturer, and I punch in all the numbers and I figure out exactly what our pressure is supposed to be at. And it's like 26 PSI. And then I go out and I measure the pressure. They're all at 26 PSI. So, could have totally been chance, or maybe this guy also did the same thing.
Yeah, and he said that this car was too nice for him to turn into a race buggy. So that's why he'd had it for about not quite a year, and then just decided that it was in too good a shape to like race and destroy.
Yeah, because you have to cut them up quite a bit. You,
yeah,
have to cut the fenders, cut the bodywork a little bit. You replace the axles with solid axles and make them, because most people put like ginormous, like 35 inch tires on them. And yeah, but you just have to gut the whole thing. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's irreversible. So.
So Chris found this little red toaster on Craigslist, showed it to me, and I was like, yeah, it looks like it's in great condition. I mean, it's a little dusty, but like the fabric on the seats looks clean and like intact. There aren't any tears, like the dash isn't cracked, like the whole, it looks like for a 25-year-old car, it looks amazing. So I hop up into my little classroom office, hop into a meeting, and like halfway through the meeting, I notice Baxter is sleeping next to the front door, which he only does when Chris leaves. So I, like halfway through this meeting I'm in, I text Chris, I'm like, did you leave? He's like, yep, on my way to go buy it. I was like, oh, I thought this was still hypothetical. I did not realize that we were, this, it's a done deal now.
Yeah, I think the whole process of like deciding to get a car, finding the car, and buying the car was less than a day. So
it was definitely, it was less than 24 hours, I think. I think it took us longer to buy me a bicycle on Craigslist than it did for us to buy a car.
I just, you know, sometimes you see some, it just speaks to you. You're like, man, this is really good condition.
Yep. So you came home, you introduced me to the Sidekick, and I immediately said, it looks like a toaster. So I call it the toaster.
It's now the toaster.
The brave little toaster.
It's a red, like a maroon red. It's four-wheel drive. It's got four high and four low. It's got little manual locking hubs on the front wheels, which is fun. Every time you get in four-wheel drive, you got to get out of the truck and turn the hubs and then get back in. Very satisfying.
It's got a back seat, and then it's got a back little cargo area. And brand new tires, all terrain. So yeah, we don't have to change them for the wintertime.
Called
Toyo.
And they're the open country all-terrains, which is kind of like, it's similar to the tire we've put on all of our other vehicles, the BF Goodrich KO2s, except, you know, made by different companies, but they're the similar design. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we drove it home.
I drove it home. I was still in a meeting.
I ran it through the automatic car wash,
which we've never been able to do.
I've never owned a vehicle that's been short enough that we can do that with. So that was exciting.
I think the Scout is short enough.
Except the Scout is too. Yeah,
but except the roof leaks. So
yeah, the roof leaks. So that might be a disaster. And once we got home, transferred all the camping stuff from the Scout into the Sidekick, the toaster, to get it ready. And then ran by and picked up a electric heated blanket as well.
Because we were going camping. Yeah.
Camping.
So Chris planned a route. Headed, all I knew was we were headed south. Usually Chris plans the routes and I just nod and smile and then hop in. Cause I honestly don't usually care where we're going cause it's going to be fun. So
criteria though, you have some criteria. I think that I use as guidance when building.
What's my criteria?
You like, I guess I don't know. I feel like you have some. You don't have criteria.
I don't think so. I mean,
You like pretty camping spots.
I do, but you know, my criteria for pretty goes like in so many different directions. Because yes, I love mountains. Mountains are beautiful. I love camping in mountains, but also like camping in deserts can be equally as beautiful. I really like rocks. I'm a big fan of rocks, yeah. But we didn't. Like, it's hard to tell if you're going to have, like, super cool rocks where you go. I mean, I'm not talking, like, pebbles. I'm talking about, like, enormous rock formations that have been, like, shaped by wind and snow and weather over, like, eons type of rocks. But, yeah, so we hop in and we go. I pack up the dog food, grind some coffee. We're a little bit low on our normal, fizzy water cans. So we grab the four that we have in the fridge, fill up a Nalgene. And then, it's cold. It's like 28 when we leave Denver, but where we're going, it's supposed to get warmer. So it was supposed to like around 9 be at 30 and then progressively throughout the night get warmer and warmer and warmer. So we're like, okay, we got the heated blanket just in case. We got this brand new, super sweet mattress, Thermarest. I think it's by Thermarest. I'm not really sure.
It's not Thermarest.
Self-inflating, like queen size mattress pad.
Yeah, we got this. We're doing the ground tent again, and we got this. It's, I think it's a 3-person. It might be 4-person. Tent. And this mattress, it's not an air mattress per se, it's more like a inflatable pad that you would use with a sleeping bag, except thicker. Kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, because they have
those
giant
sleeping mattress that you would get for your home. It's still a camping pad,
but it has like a layer of foam so that when you unroll it, it like kind of auto fills because the foam expands.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks in air. And then it's got a little tiny pump where you can like you can top it off.
A manual pump.
Yeah, a little manual like pump. And so we got that to go with the tent because the tent is huge. There's plenty of room. And the last time we went camping with our two individual sleeping pads, I have the problem that Baxter pushes me off my sleeping pad and sleeps on my sleeping pad. And so then I end up sleeping on the ground from like the waist down. And Chris's sleeping pad sounds like somebody trying to open up a bag of chips in a movie theater. Every time he moves, it's like insanely loud. Even with like earplugs, it's insanely loud. So we broke down and we bought this like epic mattress. And then I have a blanket I got from Ecuador. So we like threw the mattress. We'd never put the mattress in the tent. We'd looked at measurements of the tent and we looked at measurements of the mattress and we're like, it should fit. It fit perfect.
It's like flush with the walls of the tent and without pressure because we tried an air mattress. I think it was a couple years ago, but we tried an air mattress in the past and we were in this big Agnes tent. And we brought a queen size like home air mattress and we inflated it and it burst our tent open. Like
it split the seam. We had to like duct tape the seam.
You could see it would slope up the side of the tents and then it would just keep going and going and going. It had so much pressure that when you started to unzip the tent, the whole tent would just like unzip itself.
Yeah.
And end up ripping every weak seam in that tent from that thing. Just from using it one time, we're like, wow, we're never going to do that again.
Right.
But after checking the measurements on this one, there was enough wiggle room that we thought we were going to be safe. And it was perfect. And we had like a little gutter, maybe like 6 inches at the head of the bed that we used to put like our stuff, our clothes that we changed into. And then we brought in the Jackery battery as well, the portable battery, yeah. So we can charge our stuff. And that's also what we can use to like plug the electric blanket in if we wanted to crank up the heat.
Yeah, if it got too cold.
And it was so good. I mean, we, compared to sleeping in the truck, it's like night and day.
There's
it's,
so much more space yeah, than in that camper. Oh my God.
Probably at least double the space. Yeah. Baxter had his own room. We had our, we never kicked each other.
No.
I wasn't pressed up against a wall. Baxter wasn't sleeping on me. He was sleeping either at the foot of the bed or in the middle. Or,
yeah. It was, there was so much space and I could like move freely. And then the mattress was so much more comfortable than the mattress in the camper. Like my hips didn't like ache after 2 hours. And then for the rest of the night, I'd have to keep rotating hips, wait for one to stop aching and then roll over and then roll over again. But we kind of jumped ahead because we got straight to the tent, but we didn't talk about the drive up the mountain, which was so mind-blowingly beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
We left
late afternoon after
I got done teaching.
After you got done teaching. So we left the house about 3:30 and the sun sets at 6 now. So, you know, we don't have a big range to find a campsite. And this was like the first test that we've had in Colorado of can we find camping close? Because
yeah.
We usually go pretty far to find good stuff. There's plenty of good stuff far, but it's like, man, is there anything close? And dude, this was a freaking jackpot.
Oh my God.
It was so, I can't wait to explore this area more. We took one little road. There's so many roads everywhere. And I think... So after we left, we picked up some food. We stopped at Qdoba.
Got burritos to go.
Not my finest moment, but you know, not a lot of planning on this one. We just grabbed our stuff and ran out the door.
Actually, we ended up not even having, we had one Nalgene of water, 4 cans of sparkling water total, and 3 shots of 15-year-old scotch on ice in a thermos. And that's it.
Yeah, and we had to come home the next day, otherwise we would have died of dehydration.
Yeah, we were already so, so thirsty. But we got to this mountain and like I've never seen this before, but when people buy Christmas trees that are flocked, when they like spray that fake snow and it clings to like the needles, I didn't know that that was like a real thing. And we head up into the mountains and every single tree, and there's tons of pines, like ponderosa pines, I think they are. Maybe not. I can't remember the difference between the different pines. But anyways, each individual needle is covered in tiny ice crystals. And so like, not like the clump of needles, but each individual needle. So they just look white and fluffy. Like every tree is perfectly white and fluffy. And it is the most beautiful thing I have seen in a really long time. Like I was completely stunned with beauty. It was amazing.
Yeah. And I think that had a lot to do with the timing that we went, because I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like when it's not frozen.
Well, in the morning, it wasn't frozen.
That's true. But there were still like the patches of frozen.
That's true.
So we'd like, which was almost even more cool, because you'd be going through all this green trees.
Yeah.
And then you'd go around a corner and then it's like all of a sudden you're in like winter wonderland. Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's been snowing, but it hasn't. It's just all the water is frozen.
Yeah. I don't know how that happens.
And so it looks like snow, but it's not.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was really cool. And so as we're heading, I planned basically, you know, it took us maybe an hour to get to the beginning of this road. And then I had planned a 38 miles or so of a rough outline of where I thought we might be able to find camping. We camped less than halfway down that track. We didn't even get even remotely close to exploring it, just because of time, but also just like, there's so many places that we were considering, all different camp places to camp on the left and on the right and stuff.
Yeah, it was getting late and the little toaster doesn't have like the most aggressive engine in it. And so we were climbing some pretty steep stuff and we were going like maybe 15 miles an hour, Maybe 10.
Yeah, 10.
10. So we were...
15 was like our high speed.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we weren't exactly like hauling through the forest, but we saw some really cool spots, and there was a few breaks in the trees where you could look out, and we were high enough that we were above most of the forest. And so like, it was just like a vista of these puffy, white, perfectly frozen, like evergreen trees with like some really cool like mountain formation, not mountains, but like plateaus and different like rock formations in the distance. But like most of the camping spots were like really big. They kind of looked like parking lots because there's a lot of motorcycle, like dual sport and ATV and quad trails around there. So a lot of the a lot of the camp spots are like made for like big trucks with trailers. So they weren't like the most picturesque. And then we found one. Oh, hey, buddy, you're fine. We found one and we like marked it on the map. We're like, okay, we can come back to this one. And then we kept going and kept going. And then we found the one.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was pretty good. I mean, there's not much to say about it other than it was pretty. I mean, we up a lot of the, the designated camp areas we were passing were like right off the road. And so you don't have a lot of privacy and they're just kind of ugly. I mean, they just got like this metal fire pit and then, the road. So it's kind of stupid, but this one we almost didn't even see. It was to the right and there's a little like rock kind of like step up thing to get up there. So it's kind of a, it's a little bit of a gatekeeper. Like you probably couldn't take a Honda Civic up there, but it wasn't gnarly by any means, but it was just enough that you couldn't really see the campsite. So there was some privacy there. And man, we got over that hill. It was just,
oh my God.
I mean, it's like got to be for me like top three campsites ever. Like the only other ones that I can think of that had similar views are like what we saw maybe in Death Valley. Some of those, we had some really nice lookouts there, but it just like the view was amazing.
It was like breathtaking.
You could see so far. It looks straight west, so you see the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the weather, there was all this fog and it was just like,
there's
really
like this crazy mist like hovering over. So it looked directly down into like a valley of total evergreens that were all this white, puffy, crystallized. And then there was in the valley, there was like mist that got like trapped down there. But the wind was starting to pick up. So there was a winter storm warning for this area, which we were like, okay, whatever. Winter storm warning, we'll still camp. But the wind was starting to pick up and this mist was just like traveling across these like beautiful, frozen, pure white trees with the sunset in the distance. And it was like downright magical, downright magical.
Yeah, so I did my usual thing of taking about a million photos in 5 minutes, and then we started, and then we set up our tent. We laid our self-inflating mattress out, figured that's probably going to take at least an hour if we don't want to manually pump anything in there. So after we set that up and staked our tent down, we watched a movie. And we
sat in the toaster
it in the toaster, which is fun. Usually,
put the iPad on the dash, yeah.
And I finally ate my Qdoba burrito like 4 hours after we bought it or something. Luis had already eaten in the car.
I'd already eaten mine.
I was waiting. Yes, and then we watched this super cheesy Halloween movie.
It's like Halloween Hubie with like Adam Netflix. Sandler and like Steve Buscemi and a lot of like really, it was so funny. It was like super cheesy, but like I genuinely laughed out loud a few times.
Yeah, I thought it was just gonna be unbearably terrible, but it was pretty good.
It was, they struck the fine balance between like B movie cheesy and like actually funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that was really good. I do not do scary movies at all. And so I was like, if we're out in the woods, because obviously it was below freezing. So nobody else was camping. There was nobody else out there. We're going to have a winter storm. We know there's bears out there. So I'm already like, okay, this is going to be an interesting night. So the last thing I wanted was like some horror movie. some like slasher film before I go sleep in a tent.
On the ground.
On the ground, so exposed, so vulnerable.
At least sleeping in a hard metal box up in the sky.
Right, right.
There are definitely some pros and cons about the ground tent, but I'm so far the only real con that we've experienced is it takes a little bit longer to set up and tear down.
Yeah. But
besides that, almost everything else is a positive. We have so much more room.
Mm-hmm.
It's more comfortable with the mattress.
Yeah.
We have better ventilation.
Yeah.
We have better view. We can completely remove the rain fly and see the sky if we want to. It's easier to clean. I mean, it's significantly lighter. The camper was 200 something pounds. This thing is, you know, I don't know, 3 pounds. So.
Maybe five. It could be 5 pounds. Oh,
if you count the sleeping pad.
Yeah.
it's pretty big. And we rarely get to camp so rushed that we have to limit ourselves to 45 seconds to set up our tent.
Yeah.
You know, if we got to take 5 minutes to set up the tent, that's totally cool.
That's totally fine. Yeah. And now that we know that like sitting in the toaster and watching a movie while like the air mattress inflates, like, so what if like we get there just in the nick of like where the sun's just going down? I mean, we can just sit in the car, watch a movie, and by the time the movie's done, the air mattress is inflated and just like crawl in.
Yeah, so that's
really good.
That's pretty much it.
There was a winter storm. Like the wind was like pretty intense.
Yeah.
I woke up because I felt like somebody was touching me, and it was actually like the sides of the tent being blown in and like tapping me. And then we have a little light that hangs at the top, and it was like, so it was basically like spinning from the amount of wind. And then the wind calmed down, and I think we had a visitor in the night. I think it was a bear because I saw big tracks in the morning, but Baxter woke me up, and Baxter never, ever wakes us up in the middle of the night. Like he was sitting up like alert. So I woke up Chris. I'm like, there's something out there. He's like, okay, what am I going to do about it? I was like, that is not the answer I was looking for, mister. I am concerned and I need some reassuring. And he's just like, so what are you going to do?
I did, before we got in the tent, I did make sure that we didn't bring anything smelly in. That was like my thing is let's not bring any food or any kind of lotions or anything that has smell.
Yeah.
And besides that, there's not much else I can do unless I'm carrying some kind of weapon, which I don't.
Yeah.
So it's more of just like, you know, I'm sure the bear doesn't want to get involved with me and I don't want to get involved with the bear. So I'm just going to, and I wear earplugs. So thankfully I don't hear any of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was wearing earplugs too, but when Baxter woke me up and I saw him like being very alert, like that made me nervous. And then the next morning I definitely saw, I mean, I'm not a tracker by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know the difference between like a bear paw and like a cat, like a wild cat paw, because there's like different numbers of...
And a wolf as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely had the much larger like center pad and there was no claw marks around it, but it wasn't like a huge like paw print. So it probably wasn't like, I don't know what type of bears they have out there. But yeah, we definitely had a visitor, and I think me just waking up Chris and telling him that we had a visitor kind of probably scared it away. Because, yeah, we didn't... It took me a little bit to go back to sleep after that. But definitely, actually, even with the wind and the visitor, I slept better in the tent than I think I ever had in the camper.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome. And then we got up and the sunrise was beautiful and we took some pictures, walked the dog, tore down camp and like just drove through this like rocky mountain road for, I don't know, how many miles? Like 20, 30 miles?
Probably another 30 miles or so. Yeah, we just continued down the road we were on, kept going. I hate backtracking. Hate it so much. So yeah, we kept going and I had originally had maybe another, after that, maybe another 40 or 50 miles of track that we can do to get back to the road. But we decided at one point we intersected one of the highways. It was like at like 9 a.m. or something. We left pretty early. We left around 7:30. So yeah, we reached a highway at around 9 and we decided just to end the day there.
Well, we had no water.
Yeah, we were thirsty. We had no water. We also didn't make coffee because
we didn't have enough water. So we also forgot to bring coffee mugs.
We brought everything, and we brought all the stuff to make coffee, our usual stuff. We brought the water heater that we usually bring. We brought plenty of gas.
We brought coffee. I fresh ground coffee before we left. Coffee, yep. And so we had everything except water and mugs, which I even brought coffee creamer. So I guess if we'd gotten really thirsty, we could have just drink the coffee creamer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't our best planning moment for sure. I mean,
but
we talked about getting water. I was in just too big of a rush that at the end of the day. That's just what it was. I didn't want to take a detour. Leaving that late in the day is kind of a pain in the butt, racing the sun. So in retrospect, I probably would have got water. And the coffee mug thing, I would say it's not really our fault either because the Sidekick doesn't have cup holders. So it never even crossed our minds. But since coming back, I've actually looked, and there's a swappable, there's this plastic guard. I don't know what to call it. Plastic.
The oh shit handle?
Internal. No, not that. It's near the emergency brake.
Oh, okay.
It's what has that little drawer that pops open. You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's this assembly, the center console, and it's all one plastic piece, and it's what like the e-brake comes through, and I think the four-wheel drive transmission thing comes through too. There's a version of that has cup holders.
Oh.
So actually thinking about getting one of those. It's for the Tracker, but like we talked about earlier, the Chevy Tracker and the Sidekick parts are interchangeable. So I'm thinking about getting that and just, we could pop that piece off, put this new piece on. Now magically we have cup holders.
So. Yeah. Cause that does come in handy. But you know, I knew we were low on water and we did pass like a gas station and we could have gone in to get water, but I also knew we weren't going that far. Like, I knew we weren't going to die of thirst. And we ended up having cell service the whole time. So if, like, something really bad had happened, we could have easily. I mean, it wasn't.
And we had the Garmin, too. We have the Garmin InReach, so which is a satellite.
It wasn't the smartest decision, but device. To be fair, we weren't really at any risk. We weren't at any high risk.
No, I mean, we were pretty close to a main gravel road most of the time.
So, and then on our way out, we did see people. Like, and if we had been super desperate, we could have stopped and asked them for water.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
It's like a basic checkbox that you got to have.
Yeah. We should get the, I wonder, do we still have that blue water jug? We could just put that in the back of the Tracker.
Yeah. I think we still have that.
Somewhere. I don't know where anything is.
Yeah. We can also get one of those, like drip water purification things.
Yeah. The like IV bag thing.
Yeah. They have, I've never seen the IV bag version. Most of them look like dry bags.
Okay.
And they have like a valve in the bottom that you can, but those are nice because they'll pack up super small and they're.
But that still wouldn't have helped us because it's not like we were near a water source.
I know, but you could find water sources. I mean, if you look on the map there, you could find them on their rivers and stuff like that. Water, there's lots of waterfalls around there.
I would still just prefer to pack water.
So would I.
Okay, good deal.
Yep. We're on the same page. Let's just buy water at a gas station.
Let's just buy water. Next time we see a gas station, just stop, get water. All right. Well, any other insights or amazing things we need to share, shout out about?
No, I think that's pretty good. I will say we got almost 25 miles a gallon, which is nice.
It's nice.
For that trip. It was 162 miles, not super long. No issues.
Yeah, it went like a, you know, brave little toaster. Just kept going.
And yeah, I guess.
And the four-wheel drive activated just fine. Four high, four low. It all worked.
Yep. And I might do another trip this weekend while you're out of town.
Yeah.
And then we can sync back up after that.
Yeah. Sometime in November when it gets really cold. All right, love. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right.
See you next time, everyone.
Bye.